670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate the introduction. It is back to action regarding football season. Did it feel like football season finally had started yesterday?
It's a different kind of football, but did you see Luis Suarez got suspended 6 games for spitting on somebody?
Six.
Wow. But you're right.
I'm sure the competition committee really put some thought into that. And considering how much they're coming down on sportsmanship this year, the NFL should probably take that into consideration. 6 games, potentially.
I did love the, that would be shocking. I did love the gloriousness of yesterday, though. Do you find yourself getting caught up in one game, or do you just red zone it? Does it depend on what the game is? Non-Cowboys situations.
So I always do the same thing. I will turn the laptop on a game and turn the TV on red zone. So okay. I watched the Washington game yesterday.
Sure.
Washington and New York game. I watched that one specifically on the laptop. And granted, red zone always filters in, you know, some of that game too. So sometimes I'm doubling up on it.
Okay.
But I'll just ignore it and move on to something else and then get back to it. But no, I do. It kind of also depends on who I have in fantasy football too. If I have something rolling in fantasy football, I'm sitting there going, I need them to go back to that game quickly. Or if one of those games is on one of the other stations or the other channels, then I can roll with that.
Okay, I got you.
But it just felt like, dude, I didn't leave the couch yesterday. And the wife was like, no, I understand, it's football season.
Oh, great.
I made some food, you know, I did some laundry, but I really didn't do a lot yesterday because I was like, man, I'm going to soak up all of football. And I didn't have to worry about a Cowboys upset or anything like that. Everything was already taken care of.
It depends on the makeup of your house, but do you like those little things that you can do, like making food or doing laundry, that might hopefully potentially still be like within vision line or hearing of the TV?
Yeah, my house, you know, we have a lot of tables. That's been well documented. But I can pretty much see, or what I did yesterday, when I went into the kitchen with the food, I took my laptop in with me and was watching the games way.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
But I did just turn the TV on in the living room and just let it ride. I did tell Adrian on Thursday too, I was like, you do not change this channel. I know I'm going to a watch party. I'm gonna go hang out at the Bearded Monkey, but I do not want you to change the channel. And she did not. Actually, when I got home that night, the TV was still on the game. So
that's nice.
It was really nice. Kevin, last year we tracked the top 10 rusher records and the top 10 passer records.
Right.
And I decided I will continue doing that this year. Again, this also includes quarterbacks. So you might have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson on the same team in the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make that very clear. And this also doesn't include a lot of other variables other than, when you go look at the list of the top 10 and top 10 rushers and passers from yesterday, this is how their records went. 7-3 for the top 10 rushers.
And last year, didn't their rushers like dominate pretty
absolutely.
Well?
It was a pretty significant. I think they were like 30 games above 500. And you might have been just below 500, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was not that
with
great.
With the top 10 passers.
Which is pretty surprising.
And then the top 10 passers yesterday, 4-6. So again,
so we're right back to
something
it.
About running the football and you can argue, oh, well, I mean, if you're ahead, you're obviously going to run the ball. That's true. You could also probably ran the ball pretty well early in the game too. And if you're behind, you probably are throwing the ball.
Right.
That also could be one of the reasons that you fell behind, is because you weren't very good at passing the ball and you had to catch up. So I also
okay, that actually that makes quite a bit of sense to me.
The I also somebody this morning texted in, and yes, I never skip an opportunity to throw all my tables in y'all's faces. Yesterday or this morning, somebody said, because Mickey was on with us, and he said, you know, balls that he expects CeeDee Lamb to catch, the ones that he dropped.
Yeah.
You typically expect him to catch those.
Agreed.
And then somebody texted in and said, hey, should we really expect him to catch those since he leads the league in drops since 2020?
I have heard that.
And I was like, okay, that's an interesting approach to that. And then I went to look at this also, because you had mentioned it on Friday. You said he's also one of the most targeted receivers in the league.
So I would be more curious maybe about like catch percentage versus drop percentage or something. I don't know, something along those lines.
Yeah, his catch percentage, I think, is he averages like 67, 6'7", 6'8", something like that. Probably 6'7".
All right.
The most targeted receiver since 2022. This is September 8th, 2022 to September 8th, 2025 is Devontae Adams, 504 targets.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb's next at 502. After that, it falls off a cliff. 470 for Tyreek Hill. So 30 less targets for them. In those 50-51 games, CeeDee Lamb has the most receptions of all receivers.
Okay.
350. St. Brown, 344. St. Brown, you could probably look at his numbers and say he's the most efficient receiver.
Okay.
344 to 457 targets. Very efficient receiver. Wow. Tyreek Hill's after that. Devontae Adams, by the way, 292 catches on 504 targets.
Ooh. Yeah, that's
kind of brutal for him.
It's like 58%-ish.
Yeah. And Ja'Marr Chase, 316 to 459. So when you're having the conversation about, man, CeeDee Lamb just drops these balls all the time, he's the most targeted receiver in the NFL in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
In the last 50 games. And he also has the most catches in that time period. So now the big factor, and I think that Steven commented on it, everybody else has made the same qualification. You want him to make the big catches when they matter the
most.
And more often than not, I've felt like CeeDee Lamb has, but this one specific game really was brutal. And I don't think that he's going to have another one like that this year. So I just wanted to go back and look at those numbers, the amount of receptions that he has.
Yeah.
That dude is a beast for you. He's your best target.
For sure.
I probably would have, I understand, and this is hindsight now, maybe, hopefully, Pickens had his guys beat late in the game, and you can start going to him when everybody thinks you're going to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, no, you're right. Kind of like the Harper and Irvin route from the 92 NFC Championship game. Look, I understand the desire that some people have for balance. I really do. I just wonder if making even two out of those three catches, because I'm not counting the fourth one as a drop, would have changed everyone's opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it would have. But at the same time, again, maybe if I look over and I see Pickens is covered by the lesser cornerback and he's wide open, I feel confident. Again, and this also goes to maybe you've set it up. Everybody thinks I'm going to CeeDee Lamb in these moments. And in those moments, maybe Pickens is going to be open because they're double teaming or bracketing or doing other things to him. And that wasn't necessarily the case against Philadelphia, but maybe that's something that can set up. Hits and misses, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start with the hits of the weekend. Honorable mention, Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes in a thoroughly entertaining game against the Jets. Jaden Daniels had about as clean of a first game as you could possibly have, 233 yards, a touchdown, plus 68 yards on the ground. And Deebo Samuels, 77 yards, 7 catches, and a 20-yard touchdown run. Nice job for him. Also, Kevin, on the honorable mentions list, nice outing for Michael Penix. And Bijan Robinson, the receiver, 6 catches for 100 yards and a 50-yard touchdown.
Is he going to be in the misses category as a running back?
Number 3 on the hits list, Jalen Ramsey. That was an absolute hit with a Z, if you will, at the end of the game to jar the ball loose and win the game for them against the Jets. Did you see this play, Kevin? Like that, he lit him up, and that was awesome. Continue on with that, Jalen Ramsey. Number 2 on the hits list, Sunday Night Football.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you ask for anything better on Sunday night?
Well, assuming you're not a Ravens fan, then you could probably ask for a lot of better things. But as an indifferent viewer, it was amazing.
What if you were a Ravens fan that went to bed thinking you'd won?
Man, that'd be amazing if you just like didn't look at your, I don't know if you like look at your text messages before you send out new text messages in case, and you just started like dunking on people, and then you're like, oh no,
what happened?
Yeah.
From the 214, the Cowboys should have drafted Jalen Ramsey.
Okay. That was 9 years ago.
Wouldn't you have gotten Derrick Henry in that draft also?
All right. Instead of fine.
Jalen Smith and Ezekiel Elliott.
If you're telling me that is the alternate option, then obviously yes.
But again,
let's do that one.
Sunday Night Football provided us with so much entertainment, so much fun, and what a way to start the season. Thank you, NFL, for scheduling that game to start this season. Number one hit of the weekend. Daniel Jones, who crushed it. He crushed the day. He led a scoring drive on every single possession. 272 yards passing, one touchdown, 26 rushing yards, Kevin, and two touchdowns on the ground. I don't know that you could have a better day than Daniel Jones did, except for maybe Aaron Rodgers, who had four passing touchdowns. Other than that, though, Daniel Jones did a great job. Furthest pass was, I think, 36 yards. I hope that he can throw further than that in the future. We'll see. But This is a nice game for him. I don't expect it to keep up, but if he does, I'll eat my words.
I know he
give me all the words and I'll eat them.
I know. I know he wouldn't say it like this, but do you think Anthony Richardson was sitting there like, son of a biscuit?
Probably.
He was, yeah.
And you know what? Here in just a minute, I'll have more on Daniel Jones.
Oh.
On the misses list.
I was really excited about that. I don't know why.
Weather. First off, we had to deal with the Thursday night game enduring a very long 64-minute delay. Jacksonville and Carolina had a delay this weekend. Tennessee and Denver had one. It wasn't much of a delay, but they still canceled it for just a minute. They were like, hey, everybody leave your seats.
What's an acceptable delay for you? Like if it was 8 minutes, you'd be like, ah, what can you do?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
64 minutes is tough. I remember being at a Rangers game where it was pouring rain, and I was like, I don't know. Are they going to be able to play this game? And they were like, all right, game's called. And I was like, well, what do we do? Do I get my ticket money back? And my parents were like, you didn't pay for that ticket, kid. I was like, you're right.
Man, from the 214, I love this. This can be a fan hit. I went to sleep thinking the Bills had lost. Woke up $250 richer thanks to that underdog promo. Promo masterpiece. You're welcome.
Look at you. Honorable mention also on the misses list, Bijan Robinson, the running back. 2 yards per carry on only 24 yards.
What happened?
Again, he had 100 yards receiving.
I know.
Maybe he was just tired from all the catching and running yards after that.
I guess that is true.
All right, let's get to the top three misses of the weekend, Kevin. Number three, the Detroit Lions running game. Even the Cowboys' putrid running game was more effective than the Detroit Lions.
They were talking about, because they've got some stud players, and they had really struggled to get plays behind 5 yards.
Yeah, no, it was, just watching that game, Jared Goff looked uncomfortable the entire time. I don't know how much of that fell into, he doesn't know how they're using Micah, and he was kind of, you know, timid on what that approach was going to be, or if the Ben Johnson not being there is just really changing how they're going to have to grow. I'm going to chalk it up to that for now.
Right.
But that definitely was one that stood in the way. Number two, Bengals-Browns. Good for the Bengals to get their first win to start the season, better than the last few years. But that game offered little excitement and even less drama in the fourth quarter. And number one on the misses list.
Hold on, pause. Alec, you think it's going to be the Dolphins, right?
It has to be. They were miserable.
Close.
Oh.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference. It can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Number one, Mike McDaniels and the Miami Dolphins. They were
There you go.
They were so bad that Daniel Jones looked like a viable quarterback in the NFL.
Man, he looked like an MVP candidate up against
them. Somebody just asked. They were like, hey, I have a bold prediction. Daniel Jones is in the MVP conversation by the end of the season.
That is a bold prediction.
Did you see Mike McDaniels on the podium after the game?
No.
He looked like he'd already been fired, dude. Like this,
freaking bum.
This Dolphins team looks so bad. Again, the Daniel Jones looked amazing out there.
Man, we should
have. That's hits and misses.
We should have asked for that Tua audio. That guy was like, you know what? And I think we should put every writer on probation who like puts a story about, oh, so and so reacted with anger or was astonished. And like somebody said, oh, you turned the ball over in bunches. And Tua's like, bunches, huh? And that's crazy. Like, you have one game. He didn't sound like he was about to murder that guy or anybody. 114
yards passing, dude. Congratulations to Tua. Five yards per pass reception.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty awful.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's combo it up. Let's do some baseball nuggets, but also NFL overreaction or reality next on The Fan.
The 1-1. Swing a fly ball to right field. Smith back, track, wall, he leaps, that one is out of here! Jake Berger, a two-run home run, and the Rangers take a 4-1 lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. The Bulls are most certainly on parade today, and right now, we're going to try to combo it up with overreaction or reality, but we're going to start. Brought to you by Ryan Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, Aroldis Chapman did something pretty impressive yesterday, although, to be fair, he's been quite impressive all year long. He got the save while striking four people out in an inning. So yeah, he just had a little something extra.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
There's only three outs per inning, Kevin.
Believe it or not, this has happened an astonishing amount of time.
Yeah, it does.
In Major League Baseball history. But yeah, Aroldis Chapman gets
the... Was it
the
pass ball?
I believe...
That led to it, I think.
I can't remember, but he got the four. That is the obviously the most logical outcome. But yeah, he gets the four strikeout save. Let's go from that to home runs. Shohei Ohtani hits his 47th. And... 48th home run that included a leadoff home run, which was his 12th leadoff home run of the season. That ties a Dodgers franchise record set just 2 years ago by Mookie Betts. He is now three leadoff home runs away from the single season record, which was set last year by Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, really?
So these are not necessarily long-standing records. But still.
Kyle Schwarber currently has the lead on Shohei Ohtani. I mean, they're both behind Cal Raleigh, but.
Now, and he added another one as well. 53rd home run for Cal Raleigh. He is chasing down Ken Griffey Jr.'s record of 56. Do you kind of hope he comes up short?
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. was
the
Mariners. Probably still is the Mariners.
That's a factor, but also the fact that him and Eugenio Suarez have combined for 98 home runs. I know Suarez wasn't there the whole year,
crazy.
But like to have that kind of power in your lineup down this stretch here where we need to catch up. Kevin, I don't know if you realize, the Rangers are 1.5 games away.
Mm-hmm.
They're back right now.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the Grand Canyon.
No, it feels like they're right there.
Alec.
Feels like a insurmountable amount of odds.
Dude, it might be as far across from here to the moon. All right. Uh-huh. That's how far it feels away.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were 9 games back right now, I feel like it would be across the street, you know? And that's just what I'm dealing with emotionally. But I don't want the Seattle Mariners to have any more home runs, Kevin. Not just because of the Griffey thing.
Did you know that there's a star in the universe so big? Like, if you replace the sun with it, it would absorb Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and I believe Jupiter.
That is terrifying.
It really is. All right, let's go.
Even that star isn't as giant as 1.5 games back in the wild card.
And if you've never seen it, like, do yourself a favor and look at the little chart or graphic that shows what would happen if our moon was replaced with each one of the planets. And they just show you like driving into town and all of a sudden there's Jupiter and you're like, oh my God.
The whole sky. Yeah. That is the entire sky.
So yeah, really fun space exercise for you right there. All right, let's go from that to for the Phillies, Trey Turner. He suffered a hamstring strain. I believe he's getting an MRI today. And it's said that the Phillies are optimistic, but also nervous. Which is a confusing thing to say, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, you're optimistic because the player probably told you, I feel fine. And then you're like nervous because the result could be bad. He was the hits leader. Now Bo Bichette's in front of him.
Hot man, good for Bo Bichette, by the way, for turning it all around. How often do you think the player goes, oh yeah, I'm done? Like, what percentage of the time? Or, like, I'm going to be out for a month.
I think when they really know. Like, if they hear the pop.
Okay.
You know, or, you know, when it comes to... Derek told us he knew kind of immediately when he tried to throw the next ball that his arm was not right.
He said he thought, for one of those injuries, that his arm had been disconnected from his body.
Yeah. I think,
which, that's wild.
I think there are, like, every player wants to think that they can come back faster, except for Corey Seager, who thinks he can't come back as fast as Holiday. but the but every player, I mean, that was Alexi Ogando. He wouldn't communicate that he was hurt because he was afraid of losing his job, and then it got him hurt for an even longer period of time. And you have to be honest with your coaches because they're sending you out there based on the idea that they think you're 100%.
Right.
Or at least whatever percentage they think you're at. So I think every player is always like, I just want to be out on the field.
All right, Alec, if you can go ahead and give me cut number 9, let's move to NFL overreaction or reality.
Chargers from inside the red zone of the Kansas City Chiefs. Herbert. For the end zone, there's Keenan Allen, touchdown.
So I know it's a huge win for the Chargers, but NFL overreaction or reality, the NFL's got to be kind of disappointed with the viewership for that game. Now, it was 17.3 million viewers globally. 16.2 million of those viewers were from the United States. So in the whole rest of the world, 1.1 million people watched. Now, that's...
like 6 million were in that stadium, I believe, right?
There was a lot of people in there. Now, that's up from last year. 14.2 million watched the Friday night game. But that was on Peacock, which is a paid service. YouTube is a free service and also way lower than like the Netflix Christmas games and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It feels as though people like the Friday night game, but maybe not as intensively as one would guess.
Oh, because it was the Chargers?
I mean, they did have the... it wasn't great last year either.
Yeah, but it's the Chargers. I know there's one fan that texts in that's a Chargers fan. I'm giving them a hard time right now. But, you know, they have like 3 or 4 fans that are, okay, that have been there for a while. Remember that one time they played a song? And all of Pittsburgh.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fans went nuts and they were like, why are we playing this song? We know there aren't any of our fans in this. That's interesting because you were just commenting that the NFL had had a conversation with Nielsen about their ratings and how that would let that might be able to change. And this game didn't get a big draw on a Friday night. Again, Friday night football is going on in high school in Texas. It's a big deal here. So, but it's, you got a lot of people from the U.S. I'm curious to see how that conversation affects the ratings now.
Yeah.
And if this was affected by it, or if there was, they're like, oh, well, YouTube, we still don't know how to draw all those numbers.
Well, and that the very first game, the opening night game, they struggled ratings wise, no doubt, thanks in large part to the more than an hour delay. All right, Alec, overreaction or reality? The NFL, you might be disappointed with this Friday night game experiment.
I'm going to say reality because NFL is king, so I feel like we're always just going to expect overinflated numbers because That's what they do. That's the game of pro football. But, I mean, to Corey's credit, I didn't watch a single second of it until after I got home calling my own high school football game. Like, I just can't. And a lot of people, Friday nights are kind of dedicated to other things. We know that high school football is its own religion here in Texas, but, like, other people have lives and stuff, so they might have places to be, things to do, you know? So I was just catching up on that game pretty much yesterday before the noon games kicked off.
Do you think that there's – that I know – like when we go to overseas to Europe, it's pretty significant. Like there's, I don't know how the ratings draw there.
Right.
But do you think that there just is not a global place for the NFL?
I mean, I think that's a really fair point.
We're trying to force it a little more than anybody else cares to.
But also like they adjust those times. This game started at 7 o'clock at night, which in England is like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so that probably didn't help. I don't know how many people like football versus I'm going to make sure that I start watching something at 1 in the morning. That's going to end at 4 in the morning that I'm like, eh. And so, by the way, this could be a problem too. Somebody just said, I thought it was on YouTube TV, not YouTube. No, it was on regular YouTube.
At first I thought that too. And then I kept seeing YouTube not with TV on it. And so I was like, I'm going to go check. And when I went to check, I saw Kay Adams and Cam Newton, and I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll watch this for a little while.
By the way, that is a new part of Noah's vernacular is YouTube.
Hey, you know how when you go over the equator, the toilets go in reverse?
Right.
Does the ball?
I believe it's all water flow.
Does the ball spin in a different direction when you throw it?
I think
you
so.
You throw it, and you think it's going to roll off your fingertips this way, but it immediately just starts spinning the other direction?
I don't.
These are the questions.
I don't believe that is the case.
That but people ask.
As long as you have those questions. Overreaction or reality? The Saints uniforms from yesterday were the most ugly, god-awful pro jerseys, except for maybe those prison ones.
Prison ones?
Yeah, the ones that the Steelers have, right?
Those are bad. Those were bad, dude. I saw it yesterday, and I was like, what team is this?
You thought it was Vanderbilt,
right? My first thought was, what team is this? Second thought was, seriously, what team is this? And then I looked down and saw it was the Saints, and I was like, don't do that again. Y'all really screwed Kellen Moore over on this. And he already screwed himself over by not having a quarterback.
Well, I don't think that was his choice.
He definitely could have rolled himself out there, and he chose not to.
Nobody else is going to give me a job, so I might as well.
Those things were ugly. That's a reality.
Overreaction reality. Those were just the worst.
Reality, it's pretty emblematic of their roster and their offseason and really that franchise as a whole right now. Very tough to look at. And I do not want to continue looking at it, but I'm going to have to because it's kind of like, you know, the analogy of the car wreck where it's you just can't stop watching just because you know that it's something you're probably not going to see very often.
Okay, I'm going to add a bonus to that then. The only thing worse from the opening weekend than the Saints jersey was the new CBS score bug, which takes up, I don't know, like a fourth of the screen. That thing is gigantic, dude.
Kevin, I'm going to be honest. I didn't notice it that much.
Well, then.
Looking at it right
maybe
now.
Maybe I'm an overreaction.
Also, would you mind, I think he's probably doing it, what Kevin just said? Can you mark what he
did? Oh, man.
It is.
What did Kevin, I say?
It definitely is.
You'll hear on Friday at 1:30.
Gigantic. I guess I just don't have that much. That one's not as bad. I've seen some other ones that are just stupid. That one's not so bad.
All right. And if
you know what I would like, though, I would like.
I think I'm starting to figure out what I might have said.
You know how in baseball we have miles per hour every time a pitcher throws? Every time a quarterback throws, I'd like to see the miles per hour on it. I'd like to see who's throwing. Why can't we get that?
So do you think on one of the CD drops, it would have been like, hey, he threw too hard?
It was way too hard, Dak. Come on, what are we doing here? Not really, but I do want to. It'd be cool to have that information, is all I'm saying.
NFL overreaction to reality, it is probably impossible for Ravens fans to believe their team can win a big game.
It's got to be, I think it's a reality right now. They played such a good game in areas and such a bad game in other areas.
Right.
To let them back into that game after they had that kind of lead, I was like, this is insurmountable. Nobody can come back from this, and then they did. I don't know exactly, because you also have the type of offense that can bleed a game out. You should be able to run the ball so effectively that they never see the ball again. Yet there they are all the time in these kind of situations. So yeah, I agree with you, man. It feels like that they're the bad luck team against a team that has very little success in the Super Bowl and is a bad luck team also, and that's the Bills. So that's a weird thing.
Alec?
I'm going to say reality because I do think that defense is not great. But outside of Kyle Hamilton, there's a lot of areas that need to be addressed there. I think Jaire Alexander stinks now, and that sucks because I thought that was one of the most underrated moves by the Ravens, and he did not look good. But part of me will blame Mike Tirico, too, because I think it was in the third quarter coming back from a break. He was like, you know, there's a lot of history in this stadium, and they're opening up a new one. They've seen some magical moments.
Yeah.
I feel like Mike Tirico willed it into existence to try to make the game a little more entertaining. So maybe I'll stave off on that for a little bit.
All right, and then finally, NFL overreaction or reality, Justin Herbert can still be the quarterback people to love to imagine that he'll be. 300-plus yards. 3 touchdowns. That's the first time he's had a game like that in almost 2 years. And it's the first time he's beaten Kansas City after 7 straight losses.
I think any quarterback has that chance until their career's done to kind of, you know, change people's mind. Baker Mayfield was one I think a lot of people gave up on. He had a phenomenal year last year. I think they always have the chance to prove it. For Justin Herbert, it's going to come down to big games. And at the moment, it does feel like Harbaugh has found the way to get him to click a little bit. And maybe that's all he needed was somebody that understands the position he's in. But I do think that he's going to have a very good year this year. That's based on one game and one game alone. But that team actually is a better team. It's not just Justin Herbert now. So that's another factor that goes into it.
Alec, what say you?
Yeah, it does look like things have gotten better for them, even though they were really struggling with the receivers. It felt like they're having to bring Keenan Allen back towards the end of his career. But Quentin Johnston is making plays now, which is, you know, something that you don't really expect from that offense. But I do think that Justin Herbert has always had the tools. It's just, again, it's the what if. I think this year might be the year that we figure out what if. He's kind of got the tools, the coaching staff. We knew, you know, from the beginning of last year, really, that's the right crew for him. I think this could be it.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, baseball nuggets and overreaction
or
reality. Right, coming up next, I guess, we will chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Here's the snap to Love, throws right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Jaden Reed, right corner of the end zone. They beat Terrion Arnold again in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands for Jaden Reed.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Higgy. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I wanted to know, obviously we played a highlight from that game. Were you guys more invested in Green Bay and Detroit, or would you have always been invested in a game between two of the presumptive better teams in the NFC?
I mean, it was a must tune in. You know, I feel like not only to see how Micah did, but to kind of gauge the Packers and see where that draft pick might fall. And unfortunately, my fears were confirmed for the most part yesterday. It's a damn good team.
Yeah, I was locked in. Probably would have been pretty locked into it anyways, but it added an extra element of must-watch knowing the Micah stuff. And that was a pretty good performance on his part. And the Packers do look legit. Our fears about the Lions, and shout-out to Walchuk, who had a miss in the playoffs entirely. We'll see if that really comes to fruition or not. But through 1 week, Jared Goff without Ben Johnson, that rushing attack without Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I got up and watched the actual tape of the game.
Okay.
I was just interested to see how Micah played.
Sure. What are your general thoughts?
I'll talk to you after 2 o'clock today.
Okay. All right.
Nice tease.
Now, to go along with that, it feels like the biggest news of the day for the Cowboys is the Giants said, screw it. We're going to stick with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
I was surprised myself.
But that's great.
Yeah, it's a win for the Cowboys.
That's okay. That's what I was going to say. Great news. Maybe that's overstating it. It feels like really good news for the Cowboys.
I mean, either one would be fine. I think Russell Wilson's totally washed. They can't protect him. They can't run. I mean, the Giants were more atrocious on offense maybe than the previous three seasons. But
saying something.
I think Jackson Dart could have been equally bad or maybe worse. It could have turned into a turnover party. Just, you know, the idea of rookies debuting and their head is spinning. I think I would have rather faced that.
You're pro taking Russell Wilson on.
Well, right? I know ultimately Dawson's right. Like, Jackson Dart in front of that offensive line, is it going to be that much better? But Russell Wilson is just at the point in his career now where he knows he's got no offensive line, and so it's just snap the ball and then immediately look at the pressure and try to figure out what's going on. Inevitably just run for your life, get hit.
Yeah, I think Dart's one of those that he'll try to get rid of the ball quickly. Because of that, and Russell Wilson does not do that anymore.
It's amazing that Russ once said he was going to play till 45 or 50 years old because he has aged out quickly.
Yeah. Do you think he's played his way out of the Hall of Fame?
Dude, it's a great question. I don't know for sure, but it is a fair conversation to have. But when you win a Super Bowl and do some of the things that he did early on where he was legit for sure, but it feels short-lived.
Well, don't worry. He's still got more than 8 years to go if he's going to make it to.
I thought he had unlimited years to go.
That's a good point. Did you think it was a bad sign for that game when the Giants and the Commanders were lined up on the wrong side of the field for the opening?
Start the game.
Yeah. And they're like, the rest are like, no, you're on the wrong side.
Switcheroo, boys. Switcheroo.
Y'all literally said you wanted this field goal.
Yeah. Did you know that it was like, well, this game's going to be a tough watch?
Yeah, that was probably a bad omen.
But not as bad as things ended for the Baltimore Ravens. I know the game was incredible. I know the offenses were amazing. But what do you take away from that if you're a Ravens fan and or player?
You have to be sick to your stomach, first and foremost.
Yes.
You think kind of like the CeeDee Lamb stuff. Hey, Derrick Henry's probably not going to be fumbling the ball when it matters most, more than likely. But John Harbaugh electing not to go for it on 4th and 3 late in that game. You're just going to, like, you've been watching Josh Allen for the entire game, especially that fourth quarter, and you feel like you have a chance to stop him. Now, to his credit, I guess Lamar Jackson, who was, you could tell, was kind of gimping around. You're going, what's going on? Apparently, he had a cramp issue.
Oh,
and so,
I bet, man.
And so, I guess that played into them electing to punt. But I'm like, dude, you got to figure something. You don't give the ball back to Allen when he is going scorched.
He was operating as though there were 6 minutes left in the game. He's like, don't worry about it. We got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. And they timed it out remarkably well.
Only the Bears have blown more 10-point leads than the Ravens.
It's like they're the best team in football until it really, really matters, and they need to be. Yeah. And then they find a way to fart it away.
If you're a Ravens fan, you've seen this one before.
In a divisional game or a divisional round,
yeah,
I guess.
They will find a way to cough up a lead at the end, for sure.
Yeah.
He didn't bring up the Bears, though. They play tonight. So do the Vikings.
All right, are you?
So do the Vikings.
That's true. Yeah, that's both great. Teams are playing tonight.
That's teamwork.
That's a great point that you make. Are you amped up to see new look Bears, especially now that you saw what
new
Detroit
look JJ McCarthy? Yeah.
Yes, I'm very excited about this game. Especially, did you guys see the Tyler Dunn report? Where it's going to be like a 5-part series about how Caleb Williams is a total disaster.
Oh, no.
This is like previous coaches.
Is that your interpretation of what the series
will be? I'm pretty sure that's a direct quote. He's got like a bunch of coaches and scouts and things from the organization that was around Caleb last year that is obviously no longer there. And they are just, they're ripping him to shreds. The personality, the work ethic, just blowing coaches off, like no respect whatsoever. Pretty damning report. But then, like you mentioned, you see the Ben Johnson difference for the Lions. Caleb Williams still has talent. It's just...
For sure.
But going up against Brian Flores, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it could go really either way for the Bears this year.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Haggy. Thanks for asking. It is a Monday, so at 4:20, we'll talk with CY, Chris Young.
All right.
Cy Young Show.
I love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say tingus, Kevin.
Tingus.
670 The Score's Mullen Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullen Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.